Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
You. Our house is a mess.
Get your butt in here.
Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' podcast, where we talk about dating, parenting, and where we record it all for the world to see, baby. I'm your neighborhood-friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm B to the E to the N, Ben.
Hey. Oh, we're rapping today. That's new.
I'm trying to introduce our child to more styles of music because she gets a lot of the folk acoustic. So I've been rapping for her.
Oh,
we've been listening to Tupac. Not to say that me and Tupac are on a similar level at all. Not
right.
Implying that. But if someone else wants to make that comparison, I'm totally okay with that.
Of course. But you and Tupac in the same sentence.
You know how, here's the thing though. A lot of people will sing nursery rhymes.
Right.
But I think we need to normalize rapping nursery.
Absolutely.
Nursery, because, you know, that is a big part of Wild's culture, you know.
Of course.
Being black. And it's important that she experiences everything.
Right,
even
right.
Even if it's from a white mouth.
Okay, like, so what nursery rhyme will you be rapping for us today on the show? Just to give a demo for parents out there. Which one?
Give me a beat.
A what?
Give me a beat. Not the beat
Boom. Boom.
Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a Mary had a little lamb, and her fleece was white as snow. Mary decided she wanted some lamb chops. She slit her lamb's throat and grilled it.
Ben.
That's not.
I didn't know you were gonna go full gangster. No, that's not how the nursery rhyme ends. Okay. So we'll work on it. You were actually staying on beat. I was worried about my beat.
You sounded great.
Thank you. I was put on the spot. You know, real me, I would have got the nails involved, you know, a little Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe got the mule involved with the shoe. These shoes are on their way out anyway. Can I show you why I really can't even wear them to the club anymore? That's how, that's where we've gotten.
Oh my goodness.
I know,
they got like a mouth in there. There's like that
they
green
talking.
Slime.
They talking. But look, you can't tell
you
once
can't
I put
tell.
Them back
you
on.
Can't tell once you put
so
them back
all
on.
Good. I'm still that girl.
Yeah.
I got them for on Aceless for like $20.
Poverty.
My shoes are impoverished, but my mind is not.
Yes.
Going back to last week. Anyway, For those of you also not in poverty, like my mind, you should head on over to that City Winery website, baby, because we will be in the Atlanta area for Fly on the Wall and Live, the podcast on steroids, on a stage near you. So go to Fly on the Wall and Live. We are going to also be joined by the fabulous comedian Mel Mitchell. She will be opening the show. Fanita's going to be emceeing on the ones and twos. Ones and twos. So it's going to be a very, very fun night, and we cannot wait to see you there in ATL, ho. Yeah. ATL, ho.
ATL, huh? It just felt racist saying ATL, ho.
Got
I don't
it.
Know.
It
just
Got
like
you.
The way you put the thump in it, I was thump. Like, ah, I'm like, but we're going to have a battle in the Attle. Get it? Attle, ATL? Attle. That's what...
That battle in the Attle is definitely the episode name. I don't care what's going on. That is so bad. That is so bad that it has to be there. Ben, so
yes, ma'am.
The first segment of the show... For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. The first segment of the show is called Hashtag Influenced, where we talk about our lives just as, you know, content creators, influencers, and the like.
And how you can go from making $0 a month to making six figures.
Yeah, but you kind of got to sell your soul a little bit. You know, you got to peddle products
here and
there.
And be incredibly lucky.
Yes, yes. And consistent. We're consistent, too.
We're consistent.
I feel like even when I do brand deals, I write them like commercials, so they're not quite insufferable. I really put in my best work with a commercial that will be dropping soon. Okay. So, Ben, so this is how today's episode works. Ben planned the first segment today, and then I planned the second segment. So I really didn't review yours that much because I heard you talking about it in the garage, but I kind of want to be, like, shocked on the spot. So you have right here about recording relationships and showing them online. So what made you think about this? And then I'll read the statistic that you gave me.
Well, there's a study that recently was done, and they've been doing studies about this, but looking at relationships and how people post about their relationships and whether the posting about their relationship affects their relationship. So what has been shown that if you post a bunch about your relationship, you're probably unhappy about your relationship.
Oh, is that what the statistics say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
everything's fine. Do you
that tickled me?
Okay, on a scale of zero to insanely happy, where are you right now?
I'm very happy in our relationship.
You don't have to laugh for the camera.
No, I am very happy, but
me too.
I think there's a specific way that people post about the relationship, like my, you know, best husband of the year type of thing. Mm. Where Amber's constantly posting about how I'm probably the worst husband
of the week. Yeah.
Probably the best husband of the year, but definitely I'm always the worst husband of the week, but somehow that doesn't affect me getting the best husband of the year award.
Right.
Right. So there's
somehow,
certain kinds
some
of
way.
Content.
What's the rubric? We need to make a rubric at this point.
Right. But then what there was a study that was done 2012 when Facebook started to get really, really popular. And there was an image that I will never forget. It's two people like embracing, but looking at their phones. They're embracing nakedly, but just completely miserable. And they look at their phones sort of over the other person's shoulder. It's a very,
ominous,
scary image. And I remember reading that and being like, I'm never going to like have my life online.
Oh.
In 2011, 2012. I was totally.
The universe said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we met, you might have had a Facebook, but
you had
an Instagram and it had 12 followers. And it had a picture of like a lizard or something on there. Like it wasn't really your face.
First of all, it was a salamander, disrespectful.
Okay,
you're Matilda. A species.
It's actually a newt. Anyway, the Instagram was giving absolutely nothing. I remember thinking when I swiped right on you, I was like, this is refreshing. He's not like obsessed with his self-image online.
I was also too poor really to have a phone or anything like that.
Mm.
Yeah, so there was a poverty element that was in play here. But yeah, I didn't have Snapchat, Instagram.
You just weren't creative. I feel like
there's
a way to take... You know, your woes and like some of the best creators I follow, it's not because they make like lifestyles of the rich and famous content. They make like they're in their double wide trailer doing Get Ready With Me's and I love it.
Right. But also most authors are not spending time online. So there's lots of creative people that are not.
I see what
online.
You mean. Or there's actually this I've been seeing a lot of content of people. This has kind of been air quote controversial, I'll say. There have been a couple of creators who have been vlogging this sort of like nomad lifestyle. So they'll be like, hey, like day 72 of me living in my car by choice or whatever. And I remember reading a comment section under one of these videos. I'll go find them and put them in the episode notes. But it almost the way the editing style was made it look like a luxury to be like, I've abandoned all bills, expenses, and whatever to just like be present and live in my car and sleep in a different city every night. Like, I know this sounds like wild to me, but like this one Black girl creator, she has tons of followers. I think she's verified on Instagram and everything. If somebody knows who this is before I find it, let me know. And she has content where she films in her car and it kind of stylistically looks really cool. Like, she's in different cities, she's traveling on the road, she's having new experiences. And she shows like where
making
she showers
homeless
and stuff.
Chic.
It's a little like the aesthetic is homeless energy. And so there are people in the comments being like, why are you like glamorizing this? And then there's other people being like, why can't she just like live in her car and tell her story as well? So just depends on how things are edited sometimes. But you said at the time, I'm sorry, I completely derailed us.
No, let's stay on that conversation for a second. So there are people who I see like live in a bus and like, I'm doing this by choice, and they're making money.
They are making money
off of doing this.
Correct.
But most people who are living in their cars are not
making money doing
money.
That. Correct.
And so there's this assumption that when you watch that kind of content, someone's going to be like, oh, living in your car is not that bad. No, living in your car is bad. That is not a good thing.
Right.
Like, everyone has a right to have a home and to have a house
or
To be unhoused is terrible. It's awful. You are open for so much more danger. Your lack of health your health starts to decrease. There's so many things that sort of go into that.
And do you think she secretly has a house? This girl that's recording all this content.
I'll show you a video. Yeah, I think she has some sort of
investment
properties.
She has like 200K followers on Instagram. Yeah.
She has some sort of investment properties. She's
but
making
it's giving
money.
Like, I love living in my car. I go to festivals. Like,
I mean, that's cool. I guess that's cool, you know. But you can't have kids, or kids who do grow up living inside a car. It's just not healthy for them.
But I think the take is like, I'm a nonconformist. I'm not a part of society. I'm a free bird. You know, I'm a wanderer.
But let's be real. You are doing the most modern thing by posting it on Instagram. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're not doing like
not
into the
different.
Wild. You're not. You stop. I'm so sick of people thinking they're unique. Most people, they're not unique. You're not creative. You think you are, but you're.
Don't hurt them, Ben.
No, I'm just serious. A lot of people are like,
okay,
oh,
do
I'm
you feel
different.
That way about our couples
different.
Content then? Because you're sitting here saying like couples who post a lot online, not for irony's sake, are probably not happy. So what makes us any better if we are posting a lot online and there's comedy and there's whatever, if, air quote, we're not that different, we're not that unique?
Oh, I don't think our situation is unique. I think that it's not making us unhappy. Like,
I got you.
Yeah, I don't think we're unhappy. And we're not posting because we're unhappy. People post online about their relationship that this study found out incessantly when they're unhappy about their relationship.
I see what you mean. So you're kind of like, he got me roses. Look at us
at
dinner.
God, yeah, that's
watches
like,
and diamonds.
So,
yeah.
And so they sort of showed these two studies that I recently read showed two parts of this. Like, both people who post a lot about their relationship can do it because they're very happy in their relationship. And then there are groups of people who post a lot about their relationship who are very unhappy in their relationship. And what came down to be the difference is what kind of things they're posting.
Okay.
Right? So if you like your partner, you're going to spend a lot of time with them. So if you're spending a lot of time with them and you're sharing things on Facebook, they're just going to be a lot of your content. If you like to go hiking, if you like to go skiing, if you like to go bowling or like to do things together, you like to go out to eat, that's just going to show up. So that's a different kind of content than writing posts about your man or your wife being like, you know, my wife really has really supported me and blah, blah, blah. Like, just bullshit kinds of things.
Yeah, just show us. Don't
tell
us.
Yeah, just show us.
Yeah, okay, so the statistic that you found, it says when individuals were asked how they would rank their relationship on average, just 10% of those who posted couples content would rank themselves as very happy, in contrast to 46% who rarely share their relationship online. And then you said here in Psychology Today, Relationship posts are an indication of a happy relationship, and relationship posts involve overcompensation for an unhappy relationship. Our research suggests that both are true.
Right.
So you're saying some are overcompensating by posting the happy stuff, and some are, do you think,
living their life together, and then we share our lives
both
online.
Are true. Do you think that the OG version of this is like the yearly Christmas card? In matching PJs.
Yeah, that's funny.
I always think about that. Like, I get to, like, sometimes I send a Christmas card. Obviously, I send one now because Wild is growing or whatever. But I remember thinking to myself, like, this is kind of irrelevant because I literally post Wild. Like, she's running the back of some video, like, every other day. So I guess, like, the original idea behind sending a Christmas family card is like, oh, look how their child is growing. I haven't seen them in so long. But whenever I get hit with one of those, like, Christmas cards and matching PJs, I'm like, oh, trouble in paradise, huh? not the lumberjack PJ. You know what I'm talking about. The flannel, the black and red. I'm like, vacation in Hawaii. Y'all good over there? Like, it would just
crazy. And it's not even Hawaii. It's just a background of Hawaii.
Yeah, it's like the Walmart backdrop of like Easter. You're like, wow, pretty rough right now. So, yeah. So what's a healthy amount of couples posting? Like, if you met some new guy and you're excited about him, and because there's also, you remember,
I think,
remember,
it depends why you're posting. Just ask yourself why you're posting about
it. Remember when we had that one letter that was about that girl whose like boyfriend doesn't let her access his social media whatever? That's a little bit different. So why are we posting, I guess, is the question.
We want to make money. And we don't want to.
It's not true, man. It's nice to make money.
Oh yeah,
but
sorry.
You know,
we
want to
make
you
laugh. Yeah, yeah. What? I forgot. That's the number one thing. Yeah.
You are a scoundrel.
I'm kidding.
I'm just saying because
I'm
you can't.
That's
put
a joke.
Me,
I'm joking.
I'm not
Amber
acting like
is
it doesn't
comedian.
Make money. It makes money.
It makes money. But
I ain't gonna
that's
hold
not
it.
The reason.
But it doesn't make money for a very long time because it was just funny.
Exactly. You've been posting things and then going and teaching children and going to yoga. So you've been posting on Snapchat. There's hilarious, funny Snapchat things that Snapchat owns
day,
and their
that's
servers.
Like 6 or 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, where you were not making any money. It was just like, I like the attention and I enjoy being the spotlight.
I'll take attention to spotlight over I only post to make money.
Absolutely not. That's fucked up. I did not mean that in that way.
I know.
That's why I post.
That's why you post.
Just kidding. I post because I want people to laugh. I want people to think. I want people to reflect. I want people to listen to my music. Check out, I've posted some really great songs. Beautiful music.
Hey, follow me. Hey.
Follow me.
Stream.
Give me a follow. Give me a look.
Oh my gosh. I mean, posting to make money is a real thing.
It is.
Like, I see like those podcasts that are trying to bait people into a fight, and I'm like, oh, this is a money making.
If you want to make, if you want to post to make money, what you do is you create some sort of like travel Instagram post and just repost the most like viral videos that you find of travel, and then link that account to like a shopping account of some sort, and then you get like residuals when people go and shop. And you do this. You post like 50 of these videos every single day. Just find the most viral travel accounts and then get, you know, what is that? Like travel advisory to pay you. So every time you get a click, I know people have been supposedly making like $50,000 a month doing that. And so because you're spending time, but that's your only reason for posting and you're not creating any original content.
Truth.
Where Amber and I only want to create original content. We only want to be funny. We only want to make people be.
When we're not funny, I do like a I hope this makes you think moment.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll do one of those reflection. Every now and then. Because that's the journey that I'm experiencing at the time.
Reflecting. Yeah, you are a reflector. You're like a whole mirror.
I try to reflect. You taught me how to reflect a lot too. I feel like a note that I get a lot from people is like, show more of the happy, like poetic, beautiful moments between you and Ben. It's like, well, I'm experiencing those. Like, those are mine.
Or the other option is they're not happening, but I can tell you that they are happening.
Wow.
No, well, like even tonight, we're about to try a new restaurant that I'm very excited.
I'm not posting.
And
I'm not taking any pictures. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, we're going to go and it's just going to be Amber and I. And
We're going to sit at the bar because you can't get reservations at this. Amber hates the bar. Amber hates the bar. Her little short, stumpy legs.
I hate legs dangling like a toddler.
Oh, you look so cute.
No. Why? I'm a grown woman. My feet should be on the ground.
Amber, you are a growing woman. You will never be grown.
Excuse me?
Yeah, because the idea of like grown, like I made it. Okay. Like we have to have a growth mindset.
My career is growing.
Your growth mindset. Growth mindset here. I'm a grown woman. I hate when people say I'm a grown man. No, you're not. And the fact that you had to say you're a grown man tells me that you're not a grown man.
So you're saying that grown is indicative of some sort of like
completion. Like I've done it. I've made it. Like, and it just because by the very nature of my age, I deserve some sort of respect. Fuck you. You don't deserve it. Just because you made so many birthdays.
You can be grown in certain ways in certain industries.
Like, yeah, but the phrase, I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman. No.
I'm a grown up.
I hate that. I hate the term grown. No, never grow up. Never being a grown up.
Okay, Peter Pan. You ready for the next segment?
Yeah, next segment.
Ooh, this is the one that you don't know about that I researched. You ready for this?
Imperfect.
I want.
Imperfect Parent.
Our next segment is called Imperfect Parent. What is this?
Jet that Amber's getting the Holy Ghost.
I know. All right, let me try that again.
Your lips look amazing, by the way. They're stunning.
I'm stunting, darling.
God.
Thank
the
you.
The things
you
was, I would you do
was
talking, to your
you
lips.
You were talking about the lips last week. Now you love them. Back then, they didn't
I've
want me.
I always loved your lips.
You.
I just said they're not hydrated.
Can somebody please roll the tape for last week? Anyway, skinny way. Listen. The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent, okay? Where we talk about our new journey as parents as we are currently raising, I guess she would be a 19-month-old named Wild. So, Ben, initial thoughts on this. I found this really cool thing. A restaurant in Georgia is now charging for bad parenting, okay? This restaurant, if you come in with your child and your child is unruly, they are adding a $50 surcharge to your bill. Initial thoughts.
So here's my thing with terms. We talked about, Amber and I talk a lot about value judgment terms. And for those who don't know, a value judgment is simply good, bad, unruly, undisciplined. So that's a value judgment that you place on a certain behavior or you put it on a child. And specifically when it comes to teaching. So when you're a teacher, you want to avoid value judgment assessments. So you look at a kid and you don't say, oh, that was a good test. You said you added 2 + 2 correctly and here's how you did it. So it's a very specific kind of way to give praise. Okay. That being said, let's talk about this term unruly.
Yes.
How are you going to decide what's unruly or not? What is the standard? Because us as a society has very different standards of unruly. Some people are louder than other people. Some people are more quiet than other people. Some kids like to walk around. There are some restaurants where a kid can get up, walk around. It's totally fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who is going to make that judgment? And then it's obviously going to be weaponized and be utilized in a racist way. We know it's going to be true. Is a boy going to be unruly in the same way that a little girl is going to be unruly?
Oh, you mean like gendered? Yeah.
It's going to be gendered. It's going to be racist.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Apparently, this is Tim Richter, who is the owner of Tocoa Riverside Restaurant. And he was adding charges to people's bill. He's the owner, and he's been adding charges to people's bill. It says, according to the owner, the kids were too loud. These kids have been running around outside, albeit with their parents nearby. Which warranted them up charges. So I think
are people getting in a warning?
Do yourself
for this?
A favor and go somewhere else is what Reddit users are saying because people are obviously citing that this restaurant is not family friendly and things like that. And so Tim Richter is basically just saying like if you don't know how to if your kid is poorly behaved, air quote, a surcharge will be added to your bill. Now what he's probably trying to do is just deter families from coming at all because obviously if I caught wind that some restaurant could potentially charge me a $50 surcharge, I'm just not going to go. So maybe he's trying to, like, I mean, bring the hammer down for that reason or attract people. Like, you remember that one restaurant that was like, well, we're going to discriminate if you are vaccinated. So come over here, unvaccinated only, you know? So maybe what they're trying to do is deter a certain group of people.
No, I think this guy is trying to make it into the newspaper.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Like, good for you. And I also think he's trying to make an extra buck and surprise parents who didn't read or were not told. You know,
I'm just going to look up what's on the menu, I'm going to see if I would pay the surcharge.
There's a bar near our house that has a Krampus night. It's a German bar. It's really fun. And after a certain point, kids are not allowed in. So, like, 8 p.m., nobody under 21, right? And so, right. You can just do that. Right. Or you can just make your restaurant nobody under 21 or whatever. But then you're cutting off a whole supply of people. You know,
it's on the menu as well. Adult surcharge for parents unable to parent will be more money. Be respectful to staff, property, and self. No respect, no service, no store food permitted in the dining area. So he has it on the menu.
This is so subjective.
They have hamburgers, Caesar salad, Riverside salad, Korean steak, you know, smoked trout pasta, corn nuggets, fries.
So the real question is,
sir, please,
as a parent, right? Like, how do you deter
fried pickle chips?
How do you deter kids coming into your space who are not going to, like, disrupt the service? Right. So,
right.
Amber and I one time went to a Michelin star restaurant. It was a really nice restaurant. Do you remember this?
It depends on what you're about to say.
It was, like, very expensive. We were taking out someone who did childcare for us.
I do remember.
And we were celebrating them, and we took Wild there, and she was so fucking unruly.
Correct.
Like, I think this guy.
I mean, she was old bitty baby. She couldn't really walk or anything.
And I ended up trying to leave, and it was just such a mess. And one table got up and moved to a different spot. And I felt bad. And ever since then, like, if we go to a nice restaurant, we keep the kid at home.
Yes.
This does not look like a nice restaurant. This guy's just serving burgers and salads.
Catfish plates. Yes. No, like, fried pickles.
I think it's just a bad business.
I'm not speaking up for this man, but it looks like this restaurant is presenting sort of almost like a camp vibe. It's like campfire and tables, and
so it gives the illusion that it's family friendly.
It's a beautiful view of a lake.
Yeah,
it gives the illusion that it's family friendly. But here's the thing, also, Ben. There's a huge lake out near the restaurant, so I could see maybe some signs going up saying, like, make sure your kids do not run by the lake, blah, 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 blah. Because even in the pictures that I see, we'll tag the Tocoa Riverside restaurant. Not because we want you to go there, but an article or something. So maybe there are certain liabilities or something happening if you have a restaurant that is near a lakefront and you don't want kids. You remember, like, when we went to Hama Hama Oyster in Seattle?
Yeah.
Something like that, potentially. So maybe, and it's a Georgia restaurant.
So it's like places where kids could very easily leave their table and go play, have a good time.
Potentially drown, whatever. And go play, go drown. Mommy's got to get some wine. So I think what they're trying to do maybe is just say, like, I'm not having it back. I'm just saying, like, in some restaurants, like, of course, we went to that one really great restaurant, and the worst that happened was, you know, some table moved. But
and
in
the
some restaurants,
staff was, like, awesome because,
yes, but
yeah, they were amazing.
They were great. But in some restaurants, like, if you're running around near a fountain or a body of water, like,
someone's going to say
somebody
something.
Somebody might say, like, you might get hurt.
I think this is just a terrible business move. Like, you're a fucking idiot. I'm sorry, Tim Sphincter. This is dumb. You're gonna deter people. People are not gonna want to come.
But some people might come because they're like, yeah, fuck them kids.
Yeah, I don't. This is the U.S. A lot of people have kids.
I know, but you know what else it is, Ben? This is a note that might be a little bit important. This is a Georgia restaurant, and Georgia is obviously notorious for, like, good old air quote Southern values.
Yeah,
spare the rod, spoil the child kind of energy. You know, what is it? Do unto
Enslave
your father if they have them do
Sorry.
Unto you.
Yeah.
Yes, all of that stuff. What's the quotes in the Bible about, like, honor thy father and mother energy?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, like,
rebellion is witchcraft is a phrase as well.
I just think that this old school, like, obviously, like, white Georgia restaurant owner is like, you know, y'all don't know how to discipline your kids. I'll do it myself. Like, that's all of the energy I hear coming off of this, which may serve or may attract the people in his neck of the woods.
It's his business. Sadly. So he can do whatever he wants.
Right. And my question to you is, like, as a parent of a toddler who is constantly running around, what, I'm not signing with Tim Sphincter, but what onus is it on us to make sure itty bitty is not like booking it around a really
research,
nice restaurant?
Research the restaurant. That's right. My thing. It's like, you have to, if you're going to take,
thing. Yeah. I'm not blaming the kids. Like, I let kids be kids, sure. But I definitely learned, I think we learned our lesson one time when I was like, we can't even really enjoy like this expensive meal out because she is crying the whole time. And of course, we were respectful. We took her outside. And sometimes like, hey, it's 8 p.m. She needs to be in the bed.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
We can get a sitter.
It was wrong for us to do
this. It was a mistake on our part. Do I think the restaurant should be charging motherfuckers? No. Hell no. There's plenty of family-friendly restaurants. But it was just a very interesting business move. And
I think it
was
a stupid business
move.
Do
you potentially think other restaurants will catch wind?
Because restaurants are dying. People do not have enough money to go. So if you're cutting off a whole segment of the population, which is like people with kids,
you're not cutting them off. You're just charging $50.
I mean, that could be like the thing is like, this could backfire where you just go and you let your kid run amok and expect to get that $50.
Right, right, right.
You're like, all right, just, I don't care.
I'm going to pay the $50, but my child can stand on every table in this motherfucker.
Exactly.
Like it could literally do that.
Good. It could backfire.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I think this is just a really good for him. We're talking about him. This guy has this man has never had this much attention.
He said, we
in
got to sell
life.
This catfish. We need a scandal.
Right, I think that was a smart business. Good for you, Sphincter.
Anyway, I mean, I don't know.
I don't want this guy to take up any more of my time.
I got you.
I feel so deceived. Actually, I think the idea is so good. I wish I thought of it.
I was like, it's probably a pretty good
just
idea.
Just a good PR move. Sort of a dick move, but a great PR move.
But it's the same thing as, like, I'm sure there was some outrage when somebody made a rule about, like, hey, let's go ahead and add gratuity to these group parties. And probably restaurant probably did something like that, and the other restaurants were like, yeah, like, people are not tipping well. Like, let's just all do it.
Well, now there's a movement to get away from tipping. You remember
in Andersonville,
the restaurants were like, we don't want to tip anymore. I think tipping is... It's just
Tell them why, Ben. Like, can you explain like why this restaurant decided to sort of like they're doing something new with tipping? It's not
tipping at all. There is a good reason for why this is happening. So essentially, what the restaurant decided to do was raise everybody's wages at this restaurant, and then what was happening is that people it came down to the restauranteurs were chefs. And they had the experience where they would be making this incredible food and never getting tips.
Right.
That's fucked up. Why do we tip the person bringing the food and not the person who is making it and putting all the sweat? And this restaurant, is great restaurant, makes incredible Southern food. And so they were chefs, and coming from that experience, they started their own restaurant. And they it was Big Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted...
It's good. It's
good.
It's as good as Southern food as you'll
it's
get
in Chicago.
In the Midwest, right?
There are some exceptionally good things at Big Jones. They wanted to make sure that everyone was getting paid equitably and not creating this disparity, because they, as chefs, the interviews I read, would oftentimes get bitter because these waiters and waitresses were getting all this extra money and then oftentimes not helping cleaning up. Chefs have to clean their stations afterwards. Mm-hmm. Chefs are working in the back with heat, getting burns on their arms.
Yeah, but chefs get paid more than waiters, though.
No.
They typically do.
No, not once you look at the tips. So once you look at the tips, once you include the tips, all of a sudden you're talking about, at some point, they're making 50% more.
I know, but I don't want to just dismiss what waiters do. Like, there is a... Like, I have a very clear, as a patron, hierarchy of... how my tips go based on how the waiter performs. Like, there is an art to that. Like, oh my God, there was this one guy in Vegas. He was such a good waiter because, you know me, I always started like a 25% in my head. And then I say to myself, like, okay, if I have to ask where the waters were down to 20, if I have to be
do that? I didn't know.
Oh, in my head, for sure.
Wait, what? I didn't know this.
Awesome. Oh, are you kidding? Well, because
you deduct points? Have you ever, I've never seen you tip below.
I do it. I tip 20% typically. But I, in my brain,
have you tipped 15 or like 10% if you with terrible service?
I've probably tipped 15 to 10 if the
if it's bad.
If I had to like ask about my food, if something didn't get fired, if half the table got the food, half the table didn't, if I've already asked for a drink refill, I've already asked for water refills.
Dang.
Like, hey, where are you? Hey, we've been trying to leave for the past hour. We just want the bill. Yeah, that's like a 10 or 15% for me. But honestly, like for me personally, like you start with 20-25% off rip. But if you doing the shit like, oh, Ted, I will not forget. I will not forget you, Ted, at I remember the restaurant we went to. I'm talking, ladies, where are we going tonight? We're looking really great. We're going to Usher. Okay, you got to remember, halfway through the concert, he's going to do this thing with this water bottle. You're going to love it. Anyway, what can I get you? Let me tell you about some specials. We got white truffle in season. In my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah. You're commenting on the outfits. You're investing in where we're going tonight. You already know the specials off the bat. All right, ladies, I'll be right back.
How come you don't tip me when I give you compliments? You literally just tip people.
Your whole goddamn life is one big tip. Are you kidding me? What you talking about?
I'm looking for a 20% raise.
Oh, what? What do you need more funds for?
For more fun, obviously.
How do you base your tipping? Because you know them waters are big.
I base my tipping based on like this system. We live in a system where people do not get a livable wage. So when I just give 20% almost always.
If it's good service, if it's bad service.
Yeah.
What about if it's like pickup versus delivery versus?
Yeah, I do
20
pick up. I always give 20%.
Even if the service is bad, even if you have to look for the waiter.
Because in my mind, it's a system issue. It's not anything to do with.
No, sometimes I see another table's waiter killing it. And then I see my waiter over there flirting with the hostess. I'm like, can I please just get some water?
Yeah, I don't know. For me,
we went to one restaurant in Vegas. I think I tipped this girl 20%. Versus like the 25. Went to one restaurant in Vegas. I like when a waiter is honest with me about the menu. So we order this pitcher of margaritas. She brings it to the table. We all drink it and it tastes like just pineapple juice. You know, like there's no alcohol in it really. So it gave the appearance. I was like, oh, this pitcher of margaritas has just been back there sitting clearly. Cause it just tastes like diluted ice, whatever, whatever. We tell the waitress, you know, she's taking forever and I got eyes on her. She's not really doing anything. I'm like, hey, can you come back over? And I was like, hey, you know, honestly, we tasted this pitcher of margaritas and it just tastes like no alcohol. Like, we'd rather not do the pitcher and just order individually. She's like, yeah, we get that note all the time. Like, I tell people.
What?
I was like, okay, my good sis, when we ordered it, why would you let me know that you did? She's like, yeah, we've told our manager several times. It's so watered down. It's the worst, isn't it? Let me get y'all ladies something else. And I'm like, blink, blink.
Lead with that.
With that, sis. I love when a waiter's like, this is good. I wouldn't go for the chicken. In my opinion, it's a little dry. But, you know, I love that.
There's a Korean barbecue place we go to, and they're just so rude.
They handle me.
This is it. Boom.
They handle me.
You don't
me.
Have to do anything else.
Oh, that waiter, one time at this Korean barbecue spot, a waiter snatched a menu out my hand because they were like, that's enough. And I was like, oh, okay.
And it was. It was more than enough.
It was enough, but I hate when I go, like
take some initiative. It's this weird line.
Right. I'm not trying to be a diva, but I love when a waiter says, like, hey, the tomatoes are in season.
You
so
just
this
like,
is the best.
You like when people tell you what to do. Like, take control.
Don't have me order a pitcher of margaritas. It gets sent back, and you go, like, honestly, it gets sent back all the time. I'm like, huh?
You know what's so funny? This really comes out because there are times where Amber gives this appearance that she loves to be the dominant one, to be in control.
I don't give that appearance. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah. But there are times where I take the initiative. I sort of yank her, jerk her.
Oh, I love when you order for me. You know, I hate going to a restaurant looking at the menu. I'm like, you order it. You know what I like.
Amber likes to be taking control of a little bit.
I do. So I hate when I order a pitcher of margaritas and then I send it back and then you say, actually, we get this sent back all the time. Like, you can understand why that would be annoying.
I do.
I'm not that much of a diva. You can understand where I'm like, say something, queen.
Fair.
Moving
on.
Are we going to Tocoa Riverside Restaurant or not?
I'm good. Pass.
If we do go and we get that surcharge, wow, better tell that place limb from limb.
He's not a Michelin star. He's not
I'm kidding.
Renowned.
Right.
James Beard.
Keith Lee will find him. All right, you ready?
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Letter number one. We are officially segueing into the I do's and don'ts of relationships. We've got 2 letters here. If you would like a letter ever answered, please DM the Fly on the Wallin Instagram. Sometimes I ask and source them on the Bariam Instagram as well, but I need to do a better job of keeping everything separate. So please send those messages to Fly on the Wallin Instagram. Here we go. Dear Fly on the Wallin, how do I professionally tell my boss to keep work life and home life separate? My boss tells me things about his marriage. For example, my wife and I sleep in different rooms. My wife tried to foreclose our house just so she could open her own business. Or he tells me about things about his family. My father just passed away, and now my brother's wife is trying to take all our money. He will sigh louder and louder just for someone to ask him what's wrong. He is in his damn 50s. Why are you such a whore for attention still? Also, I know this. Him and his wife have a gym together, but their personal life is interrupting their business. Why do I know this? Please help.
He wants to have relations with you.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he's a business owner and your boss, hey, get your honey money.
No, but he's, I mean, I would definitely date somebody in their 50s, like,
yeah.
But he would be a petty complaining at work about me every day, sighing loudly.
If you get with him, you don't have to work anymore. I think this is an opportunity.
You got to work with him.
No, you quit your job and he becomes your sugar daddy.
You think that, okay, go ahead. I'm gonna let you finish.
So this person obviously has a crush on you. He owns a gym, so he's a business owner, and he's unhappy in his relationship.
Right.
This is like a ripe cherry.
This is a rom-com. It's giving rom-com vibes.
Maybe not a rom-com, but definitely a, like, what other genre is there? What's that? It's not young adult.
I don't know. Sci-fi fantasy.
No.
Horror.
It's like
horror.
It could be horror. It could be one of those. No, this is giving Tyler Perry. That's
oh,
it.
Tyler Perry has his own.
Tyler Perry is his own genre.
The Tyler Perry cinematic universe. Okay.
Yes.
It is giving Madea energy.
This is giving like Tyler Perry, where this man's unhappy. Yeah, you should definitely tap that. or let him tap it. I don't know. Well, whatever you prefer.
Oh my gosh.
Or quit your job.
No, but he's an annoying little baby bitch sighing every day at work being like, I mean, you know that person. That person
yes,
that
I do.
Like you're literally checking out your groceries at your local grocer and they're like, and then Brian passed away. You're like taking out your AirPod, like, excuse me? And they're like, yeah, my stepfather, he recently just passed. It was stage 4. And I'm like, okay, let me stop. Let me stop Fly on the Wild and podcast and see what's going on here. You know, sometimes people just need somebody to talk to. But when it's your boss, like, how do you, there's a power dynamic there. So how do you responsibly ask your boss, like, respectfully,
I wonder if there's
an
HR thing you could go to. Like, maybe report him, in all seriousness, maybe report him to HR because that is deeply, deeply inappropriate. And get a severance.
It sounds like it's more annoying than inappropriate.
It's inappropriate.
You know
this
what?
This is an HR issue. And also, here's the thing. People don't recognize, go to HR, and if you can get a severance, you won't have to work for a couple months. I'm serious. Like, take note. Like, go to a therapist. Like, exaggerate
man,
a little
you
bit.
You ain't got no HR with me, huh? Are you, I just realized
I don't have HR. I guess your mom's my HR. Your mother is my HR. When I go to her, she usually has my back most of the times.
Yeah, she does. She does.
And she can sort of, you know, set you right. Except, you know, you've been, you know, not, you've been harder to set right lately.
Oh yeah, I'm getting
with your mom.
I'm like, stop.
You're like setting some more boundaries, which is healthy for you, not good for me.
Let me say this though. I just know that the person that I am, if my boss was constantly complaining to me about their personal life, I would log all of this information.
Yeah, keep
and
track
then,
of it.
The not even for HR, just for my own petty personal reasons. Because the one day that I request PTO, for example, and then they say, no, you can't, I would be like, okay, well, there were a couple of days that I would like to ask for additional pay for time and a half because I spent 30 minutes listening to you and your wife's issue at lunch. So can I get those 30 minutes? Like, you know, I would find some sort of way to be like,
you have a level of,
I'd be like, well, you know, I'm dealing with some housing issues. You know about foreclosures, John. Like, I would definitely be like, let me file all of this information to keep.
Oh, wait, there are houses foreclosing?
It says on here, my wife tried to foreclose our home so she can open a business. That's what he said about his wife.
I don't think he's super
I would also be
then.
Worried. Maybe also he's trying to tell you, like, just so you know, the business will probably go under soon. Like, I don't know. Okay, my computer battery is dying, so can I go ahead and read the second letter?
Yes.
Dear, I know, I should have.
Be
prepared. I was watching the goddamn challenge that ate all my battery before the show.
Amber has literally been watching 10 hours. Okay, just go
no,
for
it's
it.
No, it's a good, what, like, when I'm doing meaningless tests, you know, I got to get ready for Sparta. Okay, dear Fly on the Wildin, I'm 21. I met my boyfriend a year ago. We've been together 7 months. So we met a year ago, been together 7 months. He's always been an air quote jokester. Keep in mind that my humor is just not the same as his. Relatable. I laugh at his goofy and silly things, whereas his humor is just calling me names or saying something mean and then calling it a joke. One time he jokingly called me the R word that means like slow, air quote, which he always calls me dumb or stupid to play around. But I never liked those terms specifically for that obvious reason. After he called me that, I shared that I don't appreciate that term, even if it was a joke. And then he calls me sensitive or soft. This is my first real relationship. And he literally jokes about everything. Should I learn to cope with his jokes? Some days I just feel like I want to have a conversation without joking and confusion. Please help.
Yeah, he doesn't respect your boundaries. It might be time for you to move on to a second serious relationship. Or be like, yo, like... Here's the thing, like, these are just red flags. And when people don't respect boundaries on the little things, they're not going to respect boundaries on the larger
Sweat
things.
Sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
Nip that shit in the bud early and often. I just think we have to, you know, comedy is so subjective.
Yeah.
Am I using the right one? Comedy is so subjective, right? And sometimes it's hard to gauge, okay, like, this is funny to me, but... Like, what makes it comedy? Does it does it being funny to someone else, does that make it comedy? Can something still be comedy if it's funny to me and not funny to you or whatever? But in this dynamic, it's like, okay, your only audience for this joke, me, your girlfriend, is not laughing. So we can't just dismiss this as a joke. It's not funny. It's not cute. Like,
and it hurts. It's hurtful. So
it's not funny.
If I have definitely made jokes about Amber, and she's like, that sort of hurt me. Like one time, and I apologize. Like you did your makeup for the first time, and I made fun of
you. I've been really working on my makeup.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, clown. Like I basically called her a clown, and it really hurt her feelings. It actually made you cry. I think.
Right. I was like, I've been working so hard. It wasn't a full course. I was like, damn, I've really been trying hard to find the right setting powder for this shit.
It was awful. And I felt it was like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I saw that it distressed Amber. And I was like, it wasn't because she was sensitive. I mean,
yeah,
because
any other day, I love being called a clown. That's the funny part.
The thing is, she is sensitive. And sensitive is okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great song, I'm sensitive and I'd like to stay that way. It's like, please be careful with me because I'm sensitive and I'd like to stay that way. I love that song. That song is so beautiful.
You made it up, but I'll look it up after.
No, it's a real song. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. Like, being sensitive is fine. Being sensitive means that you're aware of the world around
us. I'm such a softie. I'm such a big crybaby.
Right. And I just was unthinking, and I don't know why in the moment I thought that was funny. I think.
Well, here's the thing about it, Ben. We joke all the time.
We do.
So different jokes hit on a different day. If we have been fighting all day, maybe a 4 p.m. joke isn't that girl. Like, because sometimes you'll say that to me. You're like, dang, that joke really would have killed yesterday. I was like, but yesterday we was on good terms. We ain't on good terms today. That's how comedy works. So comedy works like that. Like if you have somebody poorly open your show, like, and because the point of somebody opening the show is like to warm up the crowd, to get things going. And if somebody bombs that, it affects the next thing coming. Like that's just how you've made the room feel. So, like, how you treat the audience and the audience's trust in you is all helpful in order to get the joke to land. Like, comedy is very, like, formulaic and, like, chemical in that way. So, if you've been mean to me all day, mean, your joke probably ain't gonna land. And I'm sure at that point, we were probably frustrated with each other. Now, one time you made fun of my blush or something, because I think I put my blush like right under my eye, and then you said something like, people gonna think you got a black eye with your blush looking like that. And it was hilarious. You didn't say it like how I just said it, but it was hilarious because we were laughing, joking, getting along that day. And then I probably clapped back at you.
I think this situation is objectively unfunny,
right?
Because this person is just calling you dumb, stupid, and
sounds like an idiot, like, you're my girlfriend's stupid. It's like, what? Where's the punchline?
But here's the thing. If you created a boundary and he's not respecting it.
Right. Period.
Because you're just saying like, hey, I don't want to be called this. And if he wants to keep calling you that, like, that's fine. He can keep calling you. But your boundary is that you don't want to hear it. And so if you don't create any consequence for that boundary, which is simply separating yourself from this person or being like, hey, I'm not going to talk to you when you say this to me. And leave the room. Like, be like, hey, I don't appreciate when you use, I did this with Amber. Amber was using terms like you always, you never. Mm-hmm. Last night, I was like, I'm not going to talk to you when you use these completionist terms.
Right.
Right?
We talked about on the podcast, too, but I think I slipped back into it on accident last night.
Yeah, last night, I think you were frustrated, you were tired, but I was like, we're not having a conversation about this anymore. And I, like, closed my computer, and I, like, put it away, and I was about to go downstairs and just separate myself from you. Because I was like, I'm not doing that. And you are free to talk as much as you want, but I am also free not to hear what you have to say when you continue, like, to disrespect what I believe is, like, hey, when you all I'm hearing is always and never. And that's objectively untrue, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's objectively true that when this person says, calls you dumb, stupid, that makes you feel a certain kind of way. It makes you maybe even feel dumb and stupid.
Right.
Right? Or even that term, the R word that this person used, it's completely disrespectful of an entire group of people. And so at that point,
I don't like it.
You have to give this person consequences.
I acted right after that. And so did you, because you were being mean too.
I was, yeah. I set up a boundary and I was like, hey, I'm not no longer doing this. And you took a moment and then we came back together and we reconciled, right?
And right. Tell them that part too.
We reconciled. We reconciled, and I was like, "Hey, you've done a lot of work. I've done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. We're tired.
Right?
Let's take a break and just celebrate the work that we've done together."
Absolutely.
And so it sounds like this person never wants to have a reconciliation, calling you sensitive. It's just, you can't be with someone who can't understand sensitivity. Because this person's
like, okay, I just hate, I am a sensitive person. I hate being called sensitive when I just am calling you out on your shit. Hey, your joke isn't funny. You're just sensitive. It's like, okay, there's another world where your joke isn't funny because you're not a comedian. You know, and I think sometimes, like, I feel like growing up, I was called sensitive so much when in reality, I was just setting a boundary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, I don't really like if you, like, rub my shoulder that way. Here we go with the sensitivity. It's like,
it's my body.
What sensitivity? It's my body. I don't like when you greet me with a arm punch. Just saying, I don't like the shit.
So sensitive.
It's like, I'm kind of, yeah. And then it's just always chopped up to like, well, you know how she is sensitive. I'm like.
Because you know what? You know what that does? That deflects the responsibility.
Right.
It's like, I don't have to take responsible for my actions because this person is just sensitive.
Yes, it's dismissive. Yeah. Oh, well, I was called sensitive about everything. I'm like, hey, I don't really like getting feedback this way. Well, I gotta watch how I say things because you know how sensitive you are. I'm like,
it's not even dismissive.
Not
it's,
say it.
It's saying like, oh, I have to watch. You're not really taking response. It's a way of avoiding and shirking responsibility. That's
right.
What it comes down to. And you're like, okay.
So yeah, you do have to think a little bit harder when it comes to tailoring feedback to me. And in fact, everybody actually motherfucking feels this way. I'm just the only one with the balls to tell you, with the titties to tell you that shit is annoying. Like that's typically, like whenever I've been dismissed as sensitive because I was like standing up for myself, it's literally because like everybody else in the family was like, thank you for saying that because that shit annoys me too. I'm like, y'all need to say something too because it's going to be just dismissed as like she's sensitive if I'm the only one that says something about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I might be sensitive, but I'm also brave. Because everybody fucking hates you. I just told you to your face. Everybody hates you. Everybody. I'm just kidding, not you. And I can't be sensitive sometimes, too. That's fair.
But that's not a bad...
That's not a bad thing.
Trying to say is that it's fine. Because that's... You might have more boundaries than other people. There might be more things that annoy you. And that's fine. In that case... If someone... If someone says something, sorry, what did you say? I was trying to speak and I didn't hear what did you say?
I just hate when people are like, well, you know how Amber is.
Yeah.
It's just like, excellence?
No.
I do need you to do this extra step because that is how I am. I'm sorry for speaking over you.
No, I mean, that's fine. It's not like you're even asking people to do an extra step. You're just mostly saying like, hey, I don't want you to say this thing or talk to me this way.
Right.
And then I think what you might, an area of growth for you, and sounds like this person, is that if someone breaks, what will happen, I see, is that you'll say something to me, Ben, I don't like when you curse in front of Wild or something.
Yes.
Right? Like that is a boundary that you've set. And so, when I violate that,
I can't even set that boundary unless I like stop you from seeing her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad example. Well, no, I'll stick with that example. So
what about the Google Calendar stuff? That's the stuff. Like no, when you go rogue and don't do the calendar.
I'll do swearing first. Swearing first is easy. Like you set a boundary. I don't want our child growing up with that. If I'm not able to do with that, what you will sometimes do is that you'll just get angry and upset. Instead of working like, hey, this is really important to me. Let's try to problem solve how we cannot swear in front of Wild. Okay, maybe we don't swear on our podcast. Maybe so trying to problem solve where I think sometimes with you, you're like, I said not to do this and they crossed my boundary. And now you get so frustrated and so upset that you're not able to move forward in the problem solving or the consequences or even I think problem solving in this case. Calendar is another one. You're like, okay. That's not really a boundary. It's just like you have standards with organization. And if I don't meet those standards, you you get really frustrated and angry.
Right.
But it's not a personal boundary. It's a professional expectation that if it's not met, you don't know how to. I think sometimes you struggle with helping people get to their expectations.
I do.
You oftentimes just set them and then not give people the support sometimes.
Sure. I own that.
When you're the boss. Yeah. And there's a lot on you to giving me support on certain things. But there's a lot of me to, and I try to support you too.
Yeah. I just think I don't like it. It's not even sugarcoating. I hate that if you make a mistake, we have to share the blame. If you're the only one cussing incessantly in our home, I hate, can we find a way for both of us to stop using these words? I'm like, no, you're the only one using these words in front of our child. I don't like that you use these
words.
That's
what it means to be in a relationship, right?
I know, but it ain't even we. It feels like teacher student dynamic.
No,
it feels infantilizing to say like,
I'm gonna help. I'm gonna help you reach this goal.
Can we both stop doing that?
No. It's not we. It's that I need to stop doing it. Maybe I'm not capable of doing it on my own, so I need support. And you're the person that I need.
Okay,
for
I'm
support.
Asking you right here on the show. How can I best support you in not cussing as much?
I think
is it a swear jar? What do we need to do?
I think one. Maybe
we both
commit not to saying to swearing. I think for me, Amber's really good at knowing when to do things and knowing when not to do.
Yes.
So Amber,
Ben can't do that. I know I can say bitch on the podcast, and then when I go home, I don't do that. But Ben
is
like,
also objectively untrue. You definitely swear in front of Wild as well.
If I do, I whisper it. I'm cognizant that she's in the room. I'm like, because these mother, like I do that. You don't even do it. You're like, nope.
Maybe
I can't do that. I'm aware when I'm cussing in front but you don't censor yourself in front of kids, your mama. You just be going crazy.
It's hard. Yeah, I struggle with censoring.
Okay, so how can I best support you? That's what we need to get to.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
How?
We're talking about another three-hour conversation.
What do you need? Like, because I ain't got all day to make
charts. I know. I'll figure something out. Maybe a good slap in the face every time I swear. I respond really well to physical punishment.
Got you.
Just beat the shit out of me every time
I swear.
At what
point I was pinching you like a baby and you hate it, or I was thumping you. And you know what, these nails, it was a swift thump too.
Can I thump you every time you swear?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
You're going to get beat just like you got beat with the plank. I would love for you to thump me every time I swore. You wouldn't even remember to do it. But.
Okay, so here's the thing that I try to help you with, because people are going to leave this episode, Ben is a terrible person.
No.
You struggle with not allowing things to bother you. Like,
yes.
Something will happen, and so I try to support you in not giving a fuck. DGAF.
No, you try to support me by avoiding that it even happened and trying to act like nothing happened.
No. What I say is that now is not the time. Let's set a time to do this. Where something very frustrating might happen right before we need to do something, or you need to go and do something else. And I'll be like, hey, don't worry about this just yet. Let's move on to the next thing.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I try to talk you and amp you up to doing that. So...
Okay, that could work. But what I need you to do is to acknowledge, like, you are upset because I just did this thing. I can totally understand why that would upset you. However, we can't really deal with that issue right now. What you try to do is say, like, why are you upset? Just chill. Just relax. Nothing happened. You're fine. That's what you do. You try to act like nothing happened and
yeah,
then go on to the next
good.
Thing.
Right. I'm getting better at trying not
yes.
to do that.
So later you totally acknowledge it.
I think
but
breathing
moment,
and saying someone to relax is different than you're fine. But you don't like relaxing.
I don't like to be told relax, you're fine, it's not a big deal. Anything in that wheelhouse. I like, okay, for example, you know, this is our show. So let's talk about everything that's going on in the house right now. These are not huge issues. These are just examples. Whenever I have Wild, we only have a couple of bottles. We have three bottles because we have lost so many. So we're down to the last three of the draft. And whenever I have Wild, if let's say I take her out, do something with her, all of her bottles make it back to our kitchen sink. When Ben has Wild, they might come back, they might not.
One of those things are in space. They're like floating in the space right now.
But you have lost several bottles of hers, which has prompted us to have to rebuy bottles. So I was in Vegas for 3 days. I came back. Mind you, we only had three bottles left. We were down to our last three.
I think it was two, but yeah.
We were down to our last three. I came back from Vegas. Two of the parts of these bottles, two of the two parts are gone. So now we're down to one bottle this week. And then this morning, I couldn't even find the one bottle because you had taken her out yesterday. So what happened was
I struggled with putting things back.
I woke up and I said, Ben, you took Wild out yesterday. Where's the one bottle that we had left? Because you lost two while I was in Vegas. Where's the one bottle that we had left? Because I'm trying to just give my baby some milk. Amber, I don't know. I'm like, okay, you need to stop whatever the fuck it is that you're doing right now and find the one bottle. And then you found it. And I was like, can you acknowledge why this would frustrate me? You're like, Amber, I found it. What's the big deal? No. And that's what frustrates me. I'm like, you need to say, you know what? I love you.
I think I did say I understand.
But I had to make you repeat after me like I'm a child. So because
I'm not giving excuses. To be fair,
I bought two bottles yesterday on Amazon. So we got two en route. But
yeah, like why do I do that?
But when that happens, I'm kind of like,
why do people do that?
He's gaslighting me right now.
I think it's a mixture of I'm embarrassed.
You're embarrassed.
I think I'm embarrassed. And I'm like, and you're asking me to repeat like a child. So I feel you won't do it.
I'm like, Ben.
Well, I might be embarrassed. I was like, Ben,
we found this bottle. Can you acknowledge why this would frustrate me?
Like that tone of voice is just so irksome. I don't know.
Sure,
it's embarrassing.
But what would you have me say? Because that is the when people acknowledge what they did wrong to me, or when I acknowledge what I did wrong to someone else, I am less likely to make that mistake again. So what happens with you is sometimes you don't acknowledge it and the same mistakes keep happening. Maybe. So I'm trying to get you to say, I fucked up. I need to do a better job with these bottles. That way, when it happens in a week or two, I could be like, remember last week we had this hang on thing?
Yeah. So I think that the reason I don't acknowledge my mistakes, and I think a lot of people, I think especially men, is that, women do this. It has to do with ego. There's an element of ego. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes my immediate default is that I might be hearing like all the mistakes I'm making, but in my head, I'm like, why am I not being appreciated for all the amazing things I've done?
You immediately this morning jumped to like, I took her out all day yesterday and I did that for you. And so, I'm like, that does not negate the fact that my bottles keep disappearing.
So
from
it's
his
a mixture
house.
Of like you, the moment when I don't admit a mistake, it's from a place of like embarrassment and then from a place of not feeling appreciative, mm-hmm. right? And so as soon as I admit that mistake, I've admitted that I'm less than, or I've admitted that I'm a bad parent. Mm-mm. Or there's something like wrong like inside of me where I don't think that is, I don't think you're thinking
no.
that. But in my mind, that's sort of what I'm taking. So
and in my mind, I'm thinking you are trying to convince me that you
we
didn't do this thing.
Though. We do this a lot where I like last, like, I was really not mad about this, but Amber, I have a whole structure of putting Wild to bed.
Oh, God.
And I said, Amber takes her up to bed.
And she was rubbing her eyes, so I put her in the bed. I
put her in the bed without, like, giving
didn't
her...
Didn't do the bath.
Didn't do the bath.
Do the
without
brush, do, didn't without, do the story do the read. And I read and to her earlier this. That day, so I was like, oh, I read some books earlier. She's rubbing her eyes now. Let me put her down.
So, and then I was like, hey, Amber. So I went up there, I brushed her teeth, and then I read a book. And then I put her down, and within like, I think less than five minutes, she's like knocked out.
Right.
And I come downstairs. I think you had done a whole lot of work. I was like,
a lot of work.
I was like, hey, Amber, like, I know I was not mad. And I think my tone was like this. And I think I was trying so hard because I knew Amber was going to feel that she was a bad parent. Mm-hmm. And I was trying so hard not to be bad. I'm like, I'm not mad. And I think it was too chill. That's
no,
the thing.
You weren't. You were like, we have to stick to her bedtime routine. I'm like, write the damn routine
down.
See,
that's what she heard. But what I
What's
said
the
was
routine?
Like, I was like, yeah, we... It's like, hey, Amber, we really have to stick to our bedtime routine when I do that. And you're watching the challenge. I don't think you're really paying attention to me.
I'm trying to see if CT is going into
And then you're like, immediately, into the gauntlet tonight. You're like, immediately you said, as soon as I said that, like, well, I did all these things. You started listing all the things you did. I'm like, you're a great parent. I'm really not mad. Like, I will go upstairs. I'm going to go upstairs and read a book. And then you're like, now you're just trying to make me feel guilty. I'm like, literally, like, I just want to go upstairs and read a book, but I want moving forward to make sure that we stick. You're like, write the routine down. I was like,
write the routine down because I like
three,
a checklist.
It's
I do
three things. I'll put it in a calendar. But I remember you doing a very similar thing, and I knew that if I brought this up, I needed to bring it up to you, right? I could have let it slid, but you wouldn't have let it slid.
No.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah. You getting your ass up and going back upstairs and putting her in the bath.
So I knew that you were tired. So I took that responsibility and then I came down and I said, hey, moving forward, these are the things you need to do because mostly that is my job. But I think I was with her that entire day.
Right.
And so you wanted to do something.
And I had something to do after I put her down.
Oh, yeah. And I had also cooked. So you had to clean up the kitchen. And so you were also saying.
I had to put her down quick so I could clean
up
the
cheese sauce. Yeah, you started like justifying all the reasons you didn't do it. I'm like, I understand. That's okay.
Right.
Just next time, don't say you're going to put her down. Like, I can handle that. And then that even got you.
I really Amelia Bedelia the situation and put her right down. And you were like, no, you gotta do the bubbles. And I was like,
but this
oh.
is the thing, because you said the reason that you got defensive stemmed from this insecurity that you thought mm-hmm. that you were a bad parent. And that wasn't what
not
I was
bad,
saying.
But just like not doing enough. Yeah.
Not doing enough. And you felt guilty. And so when we get defensive, it's not because we actually think we're in the wrong. It's because we know we're in the right. And I think that is so, that's a big unlock. Like when people start not accepting that they're wrong, it's probably because they know that they're wrong.
When people start not accepting.
Like I knew I was so wrong for not putting the bottle back that right. I started defending the fact that I was not wrong. And like the falsehood that I was not wrong.
I was like, this man is crazy because, well, he knows she needs this to drink.
People get defensive when they fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they know they fucked up.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I think we, both you and I, are getting better about if a little bit of time goes by, acknowledging the wrongdoing, you know, because that's what
you
I mean.
Catching it earlier.
I don't either catching it earlier or later. I don't even mind if 24 hours later you come and say like, yeah, me not putting her bottles back is inconveniencing you. You're my teammate. You're my partner. And if I pass the baton to you, you can't do your job to get her ready. That you typically at least have like a 24 hour window of saying that. I just want that window to be like, yeah, I'm tripping. Like, here's a bottle. And I need a better window of like, you know what? I did not put her down the way she's used to her bedtime routine. Let me go fix it. What I needed you to do in that moment is say like, you go back and put her down the right way. I will do all the dishes. Because I was like, I got to go put her down to do all the dishes.
Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Then put her down. I'm joking. Yeah, I'm joking.
Anyway, I love you. Last thing, Shelfie, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading a book. It's a great book. It's called How to Sell a Haunted House.
Oh, yes.
And
is our home haunted?
I don't think so. And I don't believe in haunted houses. I would highly recommend this book. It is very about two siblings, very petty. Honestly, reading this book makes me not want to have another kid. No. Because the two siblings are constantly at each other's throats.
That's how siblings do.
Yeah, I don't want.
And you had three sisters.
I don't want. Oh, here. And also in this, one of the main, I did have three sisters and it was exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still is, obviously. Just kidding. But in this book, one of the parents of the two siblings, the two main characters in this book, runs a puppet ministry. Did you ever do puppet ministry? You like tell Jesus stories.
Do I look like I did puppet ministry?
I don't know. I don't know if Black Baptist churches
have a puppet ministry.
Yeah.
Not the one at my church.
Okay, so basically you tell like biblical stories.
you know, artistry, but is, have you, or have you ever seen like the miming, like the liturgical dance with the miming? That's as close to puppetry as we got.
Okay. So this book deals with that. And one of the puppets turns out to be evil.
One of the Baptist puppets?
Yeah.
One of the church puppets.
One of the church puppets.
Did you have puppets at your church?
Oh yeah. I used to do the puppets, and like you tell a biblical story, like this puppet smoked weed and died and went to hell. Like that's, you would.
Oh, it was like Dare meets puppetry for Christianity.
Yeah. It was very funny. Looking back at it now, it's like, and I saw this puppet show and then I knew Jesus Christ saved me.
Right, right. Not
like, what the
not
fuck?
Not a puppet show taught me to like,
oh my God,
my faith.
Evangelical Christianity, the way they thought that they were doing the Lord's work, to me, looking back at it now, is like not a good business plan.
I don't hate Christ puppets.
I mean, I think it's good.
Maybe the church should have a surcharge for bad children in the church. That'll get some bills paid, huh?
Yeah, like you have to tip extra.
Yeah, if your child is
or you have to basically that's what children's church
have,
is for.
Yeah, they have children's church.
Yeah. But
I used to love working in a nursery during children's church because then I could just watch VeggieTales, eat goldfish.
Oh, VeggieTales. What a time. VeggieTales.
Hey, bro, they have some good tales out there.
Yeah.
With
those,
the veggies.
Some of those stories still hold up and they're good. They're good, cute little lessons.
Some of them you watch them back, you're like, this is unhinged. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember the peas talking about slavery? I'll show you that one soon.
I do remember that.
He's like, you
King
get three
David
square meals a day. What's the matter? He's like, we were enslaved.
We were enslaved. I do remember that. I do remember the story of David and Bathsheba. King David, it was a rubber ducky.
Yes,
they
I
made
do remember
Bathsheba
that.
A rubber ducky.
I remember that one.
Which is exactly how a lot of men see women. They're just rubber duckies
ducks,
that you play with.
Ducks in the wind. All we are is ducks in the wind. I'm reading Night Crawling by Lila Motley Steele. I'm almost done. So good. Well, we batched these episodes, so it really does feel like I've been reading it for like 8 weeks at this point. But it I know. I promise I'll be done with it the next episode because I've been reading it on every plane, on every commute, and it is very, very good. I almost, have you ever like paced yourself with a book because you're enjoying it so much that you don't want to finish it?
I have done that.
Okay.
All right, sometimes there are a few books that I didn't read the last page.
Oh,
because
that's
I just
beautiful.
Always wanted to always be like, there's, I could go back. Like when I'm retired, I'll go back and reread the Foundation series is one. I didn't read the last page of the last book of the Foundation, the original Foundation trilogy by Isaac Asimov.
That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, I've done that for a couple of books. I just didn't want to end. I think like Aristotle and Dante Discover the Universe. I thought that book was so beautiful. They recently turned it into a movie.
Okay.
And I didn't read the last page of that. It's just so, such a good book. It's, you would love it. It's YA.
Okay.
And it's like a queer story. Mm-hmm. And it's just so,
I feel like, is it
beautiful.
A graphic novel?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking about something else then.
Yeah.
Okay. So How to Sell a Haunted House and Night Crawling. We will add those to your weekly reading list. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wallin and hearing out all of our marital issues. Truly, we thank you for letting us be vulnerable with you. And please acknowledge things in your relationship, hopefully in less than 24 hours. Got to put those bottles back, man. Got to put those bottles back.
I do.
Anyway, here's your outro music, and we will see y'all next week for the show. Bye, y'all.
You know they're from TikTok, 'cause those laughs keep you coming, 'cause they're wildin' all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, 'cause they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat.
Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.